We give you thanks because you love us. And so as we turn to your word now, God, we pray that your word would speak, that your word would perform the surgical work that it needs on our hearts and our soul. And we ask that in hearing and doing your word, God, that you would transform our lives and the lives of those around us, God. So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you this morning, our God, our rock, and our redeemer. Amen. So as the Christmas season is upon us, you know, my household, we lighted our Christmas tree maybe a week ago, and our Christmas tree is really small because we were a small place. But Josiah is really excited, you know, as we lighted our Christmas tree. And you probably can see his face, imagine his face now. He loves to sing Christmas carols. And but to my kind of a dismay and my sadness, his Christmas carols that he loves to sing are like the non-spiritual ones. He loves to sing Frosty the Snowman. He loves to sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. and the dreaded Jingle Bell, he sings that all the time. So even this morning when I was waking up, I was woken up by the sound of Josiah belting out his voice, singing Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell, Jingle All the Way, right? So in my mind, I'm like, oh man, I wish, you know, you would enjoy, you know, Silent Night or a Away in a Manger or something, you know, instead of Jingle Bell. But we can't change our kids, right? as the Christmas season is upon us, there's another carol, Christmas carol, that I've been thinking about, and it begins like this. I'm not going to sing it, don't worry. It begins like this. Joy to the world. But really? Joy to the world? To be honest with you, of all the pain and all the brokenness that is in this world, you know, the images of war, the images, the videos of hate around the world, you know, seems to bombard our senses almost on a daily basis. Would you agree? Yeah, right? And for many of my friends back home, for the past couple of months, instead of joy, there were fear. There were despair. Many of my friends who are minorities are simply just afraid of discrimination. So can we really sing joy to the world? And as I ponder on this thought, I was reminded of another story of deep despair. That broke my heart 10 years ago when I was sitting, in, much like you guys in the audience, listening to a speaker. And this speaker, her name is Sharon Cole, and she works for International Justice Mission. And she told me a story about Elizabeth. Now, Elizabeth was a girl, ethnic minority in Southeast Asia, and she was in her 10th grade, and she was about to graduate, and she had good grades across the board. She was the oldest of 7 in her family. And although she's afraid to travel, she wants to make more money for her family. And so there was a woman that promised her a job that would make a lot more money than what she's making now. And as you might already guess what happened, the woman sold her to a trafficker, and trafficker sold her to a brothel. And the brothel owner told her that she owes him all these cells and that she would have to pay back the debt with her body. So she refused for 3 months and starved herself in protest. But eventually she gave in, and she was subject to repeated assaults. And she wanted to die. And she, coming from a devout Christian family, she tried to get the girls in the brothel to pray with her. And they laughed at her. They said, God cannot hear you here. And so, to be honest, when we look around the world, it's easy to give in to despair, right? And as we look in our text this morning, we don't have to look far to see for the Israelites who had just come back from the exile that they might also have been in a state of despair. Would you look at verse 19 with me in chapter 8? Thus say the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth. We're going to pause there for a second. So you might be already wondering, so in this verse, God is talking about fasting, right? As you might know, fasting often accompanies with mourning, with weeping, often with sackcloth. It's an expression of deep sadness, a lament in some sense. And you will notice that there are four different months, right? There's 4th, 5th, 7th, and 10th. So what is this about? So in fact, each one of these fasts was meant to commemorate something that has happened. Each one of these months was meant to communicate and remind the Jews of something. It's kind of like an anniversary that, you know, we think of, right? So the fasting during the fourth month was meant for the Jews to mourn when the walls of Jerusalem was breached. The fasting during the fifth month was meant to mourn the destruction of the temple. And the fasting of the seventh month was meant to mourn the murder of the governor of Judah. And lastly, the fasting of the tenth month was meant to mourn the beginning of the siege of the city by Nebuchadnezzar. So all of these were meant to mourn the past and the present situation. Now, as we can't just generalize, of course there was time of joy because at least the people got to come back to their homeland, right? But imagine as they have just returned from the exile, the city is still being rebuilt. The temple is still in ruins. How do you think they would have felt? I wonder if they would have felt deflated. This once proud people of God that was meant to be the light of the nations, their identity is diminished. And I wonder if they would have felt defeated. After all, they were militarily defeated. They were still being harassed and still being oppressed by people around them. And I wonder if they feel rejected. I'm wondering if Yahweh had indeed left them. And I wonder if they began to lose hope. So back in a year and a half ago in September 2016, and when Monica and I first experienced our miscarriage, there were a couple of things that happened. Initially, I was shocked, you know, and I was like, how could this have happened? You know, having Josiah was pretty easy. Oh, actually, it's not easy for me. You know, it was pretty difficult for Monica, but and you know what I mean. It's pretty easy in the sense that it was a pretty normal pregnancy. So, there was the initial shock of how could this have happened, and then there was grief. You know what? What I was grieving, starting to grieve. What could it have been? You know, I thought about the times that, you know, Josiah might have been able to play with his younger brother or sister, and things like that. And then there was a sense of numbness. You know, what do I do now? I remember just walking in school at Regent, and people would come and ask me, you know, how are you doing today? Not knowing anything, right? How are you doing today? And I would not know how to answer that. Like, how do I answer how am I doing today when this has just happened? So perhaps you are in a place of despair this morning. Perhaps this morning you feel the weight of despair because maybe you just lost a job and you're looking for work. Perhaps this morning you feel the weight of despair because you're sick and you've been sick for a long time. Perhaps this morning you feel the weight of despair because you lost someone or you're losing someone. Or perhaps this morning that you feel the weight of despair because you feel the weight of sin. You're battling sin, but you feel like you can never win. So perhaps, you know, you and I can't really imagine what it looks like to be an Israelite, because we were never exiled from our homeland and we never was able to go back. But I think we do understand what despair looks like. And as our passage goes on, we see something else. We see that our God turns our despair into hope. In the end of verse 19, it says, "The fast of the seventh and the fast of the tenth shall be to the house of Judah seasons of joy, gladness, and cheerful feasts." God turns our despair into hope. And as I've been reading and studying and praying, I was just struck by the connections that we have with this passage and the connections with the past 2 weeks' sermon. I remember Elder Vincent talked about, preached on Psalm 126. He reminded us that as Christians, joy is not only possible in a time of prosperity, but it's also possible during a time of sorrow. But if you look back actually at that Psalm, Psalm 126, there's this line. It says, "When the Lord brought back the captives won of Zion." So the psalmist is connecting joy with a specific historical context. And 2 weeks ago, if you remember, Dave preached on Haggai. And if you don't know, Haggai and Zechariah, the book that we're in right now, is they're contemporary of each other. They're speaking to the same people. They're talking about, they had the same concern about rebuilding the temple. So as Dave preached on Haggai, he reminded us that those who returned from the exile was called to rebuild the temple, but we are also called to partner with God to be rebuilders of creation. But you know, something nagged me, you know, as I was listening to these sermons, as I was listening to Dave and talking about the people, he talked about how the people were moved to start building a temple again. I was sitting there, I was questioning, well, how? How did that happen? You know, how did the Israelites just got out of their ruts? And then I looked, and then I remember the last passage that Dave talked on in Haggai chapter 1. It says, "So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the spirit of Joshua, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. Then they came and began to work on the house of the Lord God Almighty." So one thing that I couldn't get out of my head was that God stirred up their spirit. Before anything started, before the Israelite even lifted a finger, God stirred up their spirit. Remember the state that I was just describing a little bit earlier? That the Israelites were deflated, they were dejected, and they were in despair. They didn't just have an external problem, they had an internal problem. Their spirit needed to be lifted up. And so it's no doubt that God used Haggai, or as Dave would call it, Haggai, to rebuke the people, to get them into action. He used Zechariah, he used the visions that Zechariah had to stir up their spirit. God used visions to give His people hope. And if you read Zechariah, if you've read it before, you would have noticed that it's all about visions. And for the first six chapters, there are eight visions that Zechariah experienced that he was supposed to tell the people. But the visions that I want us to focus on this morning is just in chapter 8. And I'm actually going to invite my friends, two of my friends up here, Fred and Candace. They're going to read some scripture for us. And I want you to exercise a little bit of imagination. So you guys can come up and here's the mic for you guys. Yep. You can feel free to close your eyes. You don't have to. Imagine that you are one of the Israelites. That perhaps your father and your family were the first wave of exiles that have returned from Jerusalem, to return to Jerusalem. And as a little boy and a girl, you have heard great stories about your ancestors, about these great heroes of Moses, Joshua, David, and Solomon. You remember, you've heard of the riches and the splendor the kingdom of Judah has. But now that you are here, now that you are back in your homeland, it looks nothing like it. You feel like your life is unstable because your family is still adjusting to new life here. You're still fearful because the wall is still broken and your enemies can just come in anytime. But most of all, you see it in the people's eyes around you. Their spirit is down. The single most important sign that Yahweh was with them, the temple lies in ruins. And then you hear these words from Zechariah.
A message from the God of angel armies. I am zealous for Zion. I care. I am angry about Zion. I'm involved.
God's message. I've come back to Zion. I've moved back to Jerusalem. Jerusalem's new names will be Truth City and Mountain of God of the Angel Armies and Mount Holiness.
A message from the God of the Angel Armies. Old men and old women will come back to Jerusalem, sit on the benches of the streets and spin tales, move around safely with their canes, a good city to grow old in. And boys and girls will fill the public parks, laughing and playing, a good city to grow up in.
A message from God of the Angel Armies. Do the problems of returning and rebuilding by just a few survivors seem too much? But is anything too much for me? Not if I have my say.
A message from the God of the Angel Armies. I'll collect my people from countries to the east and countries to the west. I'll bring them back and move them into Jerusalem. They'll be my people and I'll be their God. I'll stick with them and do right by them.
A message from God of the Angel Armies. I'm taking the side of my core of surviving people. Sowing and harvesting will resume. Vines will grow grapes. Gardens will flourish. Dew and rain will make everything green. My core survivors will get everything they need and more. You've gotten a reputation as a bad news people, you people of Judah and Israel, but I'm coming to save you. From now on, you're the good news people. Don't be afraid. Keep a firm grip on what I'm doing.
Again, I received a message from God of the Angel Armies. The days of mourning set for the 4th, 5th, 7th, and 10th month will be turned into days of feasting for Judah, celebration and holiday. Embrace truth, love, peace.
Thank you. So I actually want you guys to turn to a neighbor and share briefly as you were one of the Israelites and you have just heard these words from Zechariah, what are you feeling? What are you thinking? So I'm going to give you guys a couple minutes to do that with a neighbor. Some of your responses. What did you say? You know, what did you in this imaginative exercise? What did you say? What are you thinking as an Israelite? What are you feeling? So, just speak it out. Yeah.
People
ask us, I thought it would be more optimistic. We said, what he's saying is very hopeful, right? But we're also skeptical because we've been not experiencing good. Yeah, so there's a sense of hopeful, but also skeptical, right? Because things are pretty bad right now, so it's hard to look forward to the future. Yeah. And what else? What else did you guys talk about? How did you feel as an Israelite? Some relief, a glimpse of hope. Yeah, because if you have been in that situation for you've been in captivity for 70 years, and then you're finally back home, but things are not as good as you imagined. But God speaks His word. There's a glimpse of hope. Right? There's some relief. Anything else? What else did you guys experience or feel or thought about? You know, I think these visions that God has given Zechariah to the people, He gave them a vision to tell them that He is coming back to Jerusalem. He tells them that He has not left, but He cares for them and He's involved. And then I love this one vision. He gave them a vision that the young and the old will be able to play and laugh together in the streets. He gave them a vision that those who oppress them can do it no longer. And He gave them a vision, even though the task of building the temple is hard, He says that with Me, this is not an impossible task. And He gave them a vision of flourishing, that seeds will grow, that vine will give fruits, that ground will bear crops. You know, I think God still speaks, and He still uses words to create, and He still uses images to stir up our spirits. And He lifts us out of our despair to give us hope. So with the help of International Justice Mission Advocate, Elizabeth was able to confide in an advocate and a worker and told her that the situation that she was in and that she wanted to get out. And so a raid was conducted on the brothel that Elizabeth was held in. And on a day that the officials and policemen went in, they rescued Elizabeth and many other girls who were held there. As the officials went into the place that Elizabeth was held in, an unusual sight was found on the wall. On the wall, Elizabeth wrote Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour my flesh, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. So this scripture gave Elizabeth the vision, the strength to go on. This vision gave her hope. So the semester after that we had our miscarriage, I had a privilege to go to one of the monasteries about an hour away from here in Mission, Texas, in Westminster Abbey. I didn't take this picture, but this is actually the chapel that the monastery, was next to the monastery. And I had a chance to spend the weekend in prayer. Had a chance to spend time in silence, and I had a chance to spend time praying and engage in some holy resting, aka napping. And as my mind began to settle, slowly I began to hear this voice, and I believe it's God's voice. Through the silence. It says, Ron, I want to invite you into a friendship with me. It shocked me a little bit because I said, God, what do you mean to be your friend? And I felt like God said, I've been your savior I've been your king. Now I want to be your friend. I want to walk with you in your sadness and in your despair. And if you spend time reading the rest of Zechariah, you'll be struck about one thing. It's that God gave immediate visions to his people, but he also gave future visions to his people. Look at verse 22 to 23 with me. Actually, 20 to 23. I'm going to read it for us. Thus say the Lord of hosts, peoples shall yet come, even the inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go at once to entreat the favor of the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I myself am going. Many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and entreat the favor of the Lord. Thus say the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from nations of every tongue shall take hold of the rope of a jewel, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. So we'll notice three things that happens in this short passage. The word people in Hebrew means much more than just persons. It means nations. So it's not just the Jewish people that God is giving a vision to anymore. These people are the nations of the world. And then you see this picture of God as a king sitting in Jerusalem. And a multitude of people are journeying there. The word ten men in verse 23, the word ten signifies a sense of completion, so it signifies a sense of multitude. So a multitude of people are journeying there. So this is not just a picture of Abraham's call being completed in Genesis 12:33, where the nation of Israel will be a blessing to the nations. But this also echoes Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, 10,000s upon 10,000s. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. So this is the future vision that God gave Israel. And one thing that really strikes me, this actually is in the passage of that Dave talked on too in the very end. It's the very last couple words of this passage. It says that God is with you. And you translate that God is with us back into Hebrew, is a well-known phrase that we know. It's Emmanuel. So in this Advent season, in spite of the brokenness of the world, the despair in our lives, we can have joy because God has given us a vision. Emmanuel. God is with us. This vision alone is enough to turn our deepest despair into hope. When an IJM worker asked Elizabeth if she would read Psalm 27 to her, Elizabeth said no. That was when she was, that was for a time when she was at the brothel. But instead, she wants to share Psalm 34. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. So, brothers and sisters, God does not just offer solutions to our despair. He offers us Himself. Jesus said, "I am the living water. Whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep." I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will never die. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So John began his gospel with these famous words that many of us have studied in our small groups. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. So God is with you, friends. No matter what despair you're in, God is with you. Emmanuel. So yes, we can. Actually, we must sing joy to the world, for the Lord has come. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks because as we gather to worship, you meet with us. And God, I give you thanks because my words are just words. But your word will go forth and not return void. And so, Father, I trust that even as you have spoken through your word this morning, that you are speaking to your people now. And so, Father, for my brothers and sisters who are finding it hard to have joy during this season, I pray that they would know that you are with them. God, that they would know that you had not left them. No matter what darkness, what despair, what sadness they're in, God, may they know that you are with them. And Father, we also pray that as you use visions to stir up the hearts of the Israelites to rebuild a temple, God, that you would stir up our hearts to rebuild the creation, to be partner with you in that task of renewing. And we pray, God, that you would give us vision for life, that you would give us vision for our own lives and how we can affect our neighbors and how we can be a light to our neighbors. And Father, so as we continue to worship, may you continue to speak. Amen.